Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Hello. Buenos dias. ¿Cómo están? It's good to be at church. I'm so happy. I'm so excited to share the word, but it's just excited what the Lord is doing through Canvas. How God is just doing miracles and healing, and not just that, but working in everybody's heart, isn't it? Yeah. You know, the word of God just being, you know, preached and revealed to our hearts, that we're just so happy to be here. It's always good to be in a safe church. And I believe with all my heart that it's a safe church where you can just come as you are. Yes. Some other places, and not here to judge any other places, but as soon as they find out your past, it's like, okay, you know, we put you on hold for a few weeks and you should do this and that in years to come. But it's just the grace of God all over this church as you come, you know, and they know your past. They continue on loving you. So if you're here for the first time, stay here. It's a great church. Great food. Healthy food. Kind of like, you know, the word is like a burrito, you know. Like, you know, everybody likes California burritos. Man, this word is better than that. It's bad. You know, the Lord adds some like sour, heavenly sour cream, man. It's just amazing. If you're vegan, I'm sorry. You know, the Lord still loves you. If you're vegetarian, you're pretty close. You still can eat quesadillas with vegan cheese. So I'm just happy to be here, and I appreciate and honor the pastors, their staff. They're here. They're amazing. And can we give it up for Pastor Ben and Katie? Such a great pastors. Awesome, awesome pastors, and I'm so honored to share the word with you guys today. But before I start, I would like to share something funny for me. And I say that because if you don't laugh, you know, I'll be all right with it. It's still funny for me. In Spanish, it's always funny. But it starts like this, you know. It's, you know, you got to guess something here. So let's say we have a building here with 12 floors, right? You with me? And every floor has a name of the month of the year. You understand that? So we have enero, febrero. I'm losing you. January, February, March, April, and so on, so on, so on, right? So the only question that I have for you is, if those floors have name of the months, what will be the name of the elevator? Come on, everybody go like, You don't know? If you were in the first service, please don't say anything. But how would you name an elevator? Can I tell you? How would you name it? How would you call an elevator? You just press a button. Okay, thank you for laughing. Awesome. I know it was a bad joke. But God is good, right? God is amazing. And I would like to start by reading the word of God. If you have your Bibles, would you open with me in Colossians chapter 3? Have the digital Bibles or your paper Bible, whatever you have. If you have a pen and paper, you can write down for notes, or you have your app, you can open it up. If you need a pen, you'd have a pen, you can use your lipstick, you know, you can just spray it that you use for graffiti in the bathroom or whatever you need to do. Are you guys there? All right. So we start by reading chapter 3, verses 12. So it says, therefore, God chosen ones, holy and loved. So who Paul is talking here? We believe that Paul is talking to the church, right? And we can apply this as Paul talking to Canvas, right? If you're like, well, I'm not from Canvas, but Paul is talking to all of us. For you're a believer, says, therefore, God's chosen ones, holy and loved. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, hey, holy, how are you? There was a guy that used to come to my church, and every time he would see me, he's like, hey, how you doing, santo? Which means holy. And I would be like, are you talking to me, bro? Oh, yes, I'm the pastor. I'm the holy one. Amen. Anyways, yes, we will continue on preaching here. Therefore, God's chosen ones, holy in love, put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Accepting one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against one another. Does anybody here have a complaint about one another? Come on, somebody. Did I say it right? Come on, somebody. Don't you be laughing about you, Pastor. Come on. We're in church. Amen. All right, come on. Let's continue reading here. Has complained against one another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Everybody can say amen. You know, we can forgive our enemies. We can forgive those that owe you money, those that hate you and slap you. Isn't it great to be in, to be a follower of Christ? We can do all that good stuff. And you're supposed to say amen. Oh, okay. Okay, so you might also forgive. Above all, put on love. Say with me, love. I went to this coffee shop this week, and I saw this big sign that it says, all we need is love and a cup of coffee. Those coffee drinkers in the morning can have life without coffee, which we pray for you by the end of this service and rebuke every spirit of caffeine. Just kidding. You can keep it, whatever. Above all, put on love, the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of the Messiah, to which you were also calling one, buddy, control your hearts and be thankful. Well, I like that. Let him control your heart. Let the message about the Messiah dwell richly among you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, and singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Worship was great this morning, wasn't it? With gratitude in your hearts to God. This is where the message starts and says, and whether you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him. Number 18, I love this Bible verse. I just love it. Check this out, guys. Wives. Let me just preach this. Wives, be submissive to your husbands. Wives, are you here? Let's just say a declaration of faith. Come on, wives. Are you here? Say, I. Oh, come on now. You devil, you're a liar. Come on. I must submit to my husband. Eh? What? Like I was saying this morning, I just feel like stopping right here. I just feel like preaching. I don't know. I feel like the Holy Spirit saying, just preach it, brother. Wives, I don't know why I keep coming back to this word. Wives, be submissive to your husbands as is fitting into the Lord. Wives, praise the Lord. Number 19. Husbands, love your wives and don't be bitter towards them. That's easy to know, Okay. 20, children, obey your parents and everything, for this is pleases the Lord. 21, fathers, do not separate your children so they won't become discouraged. 22, slaves, obey your human masters and everything. Don't work only while being watched. Isn't it amazing to be Christian? Don't work only while you're being washed in order to please men, but work, what is the next word? Wholeheartedly, fearing the Lord. 23, whatever you do it enthusiastically. Have something done for the Lord and not for men, knowing that you will receive the reward. I like that. Knowing that you will receive the reward of an inheritance from the Lord. You serve the Lord Christ. Amen. Let us pray. I want to speak to you in a few minutes that I have left about going back to my first love. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you. You're good, God. Thank you that we can come as we are. You're not scared of our sins or mistakes in the past, but you're a loving God. And I just pray, Lord, that you will just give us ears to hear. Help me to speak your word. I'm so honored. I'm so honored to speak about you. You're awesome, Dad. In Jesus' mighty name. And we all say, amen. Amen. So before I start sharing with you the gospel, I would like to just in a few seconds just explain to you, not explain to you, but share my testimony in a few seconds, how I came to the Lord. And for some of you who don't know my testimony, I came to the Lord many, many years ago. I was young, and one of my dreams was to become the greatest, or if not the best, drug dealer out there. That's all example that I have at home. One of my oldest brothers, he was working for the cartel, and I just admire him. Just coming home with weapons and all kinds of money. My mother used to just, you know, serve him food and all his friends. And I look like, wow, man, one day I want to be like that. My father was an alcoholic. I didn't have an example of a father in home from my childhood. And my mother was affected by the alcoholism of my dad. She will just find every single just wrong reason for us to beat us up with whatever she can find. And I don't want to go into that, but that's how I grew up. And so when I was saying I was almost like 18 or 19, when I had a dream the night that I was stabbing my mom. And when I woke up, I was afraid. I was afraid that I could have hurt my mom or do something to her. I love my mom with all my heart. And so I went to knock on one of my brother's door. We had my brother, there was a drug dealer, and then I have another brother, he was a Christian. I always find him praying around my bed. I couldn't sleep at nights if I didn't have some alcohol. And every time I wake up during the morning, at 3 or 4 in the morning, I would see my brother around my bed. Now I know that he was praying for me, so I went and knocking his door, and I say, listen, I need to change my life. I just had a dream that I was killing my mom, and I don't want that to happen. So he says, you know, you're in the right place. Let's just go to the living room. So we went to the living room, and he says, repeat some words with me and just cry out to the Lord. You just got just stop on your lungs. Just say, Lord, if you create heaven and earth and the moon, you know, just come to my heart and change my life. So I did it, and I remember like it was yesterday. I cry out to the Lord, and I say, Lord, if you have the power to change, to put the stars and the skies and the moon, just come and change my life. So it only took a few minutes when I was on the floor crying and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart, and he changed my life, and I experienced to be born again, which you can experience as well this morning. If you don't know Christ, this is your day. This is your day where you can receive Christ. If you have walked away from the Lord and you left your first love, this is the moment. This is the safety place where you can come. And we can pray for you and just receive the miracle that you've been expecting. Amen? Amen. So when I received the Lord, there was something amazing that I experienced the next day I went to work. I felt like, actually, let me just go back a little bit. After I got up from the floor, I was looking at my brother. And I was like, to give a little story, I really hated this guy. I wanted to find someone that will help me out to get rid of him, to do something, to hurt him. And just from all my childhood that I you know, I just have bad memories of him, even though he barely came to Christ. But before that, I hated God. So when I received Christ and I got up from the floor, the first thing that when I saw him, I was looking at him and I say, brother, hermano Jose, I say, I feel that I la la la. It didn't come out because I didn't have that word, and I never used the word love. So I was like, man, I love you, bro. And he looked at me, and we hug each other, and I shared testimony that, hey, he's God. But now that I had Christ, it was something different. I experienced the love of Christ in my life. I experienced the born again feeling. So I don't know how many of you guys have experienced the born again feeling before. And you know that first love, right? You know, even though you didn't know the Bible much, but you knew what was right and what's wrong. So I was really excited. I was excited for Jesus. So I went the next day at work, and I remember sitting at work, and I was reading my Bible. I always feel it's a great feeling to have Jesus. And I remember a friend of mine was walking by, and he's looking at me, and this is a guy I used to drink with, and he's like, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm reading the Bible, man. I'm a Christian. I love Jesus." And he's like, "You're what?" I said, "I'm a Christian. I'm loving Jesus." And he just came close to me. So I thought he was going to look at the Bible. But as soon as he came close to me, he spit on my face. So it was like, you know, one of those moments that your mind just goes crazy, right? Like, it's either to say, "Oh, praise God, Jesus, he spit in my face," right? Or to think about doing something to this person. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Hasn't happened to you, you know, when someone cuts in front of you in the freeway or in the parking lot? Yeah. And you're like, "Oh, praise Jesus, you know. He just took my spot. Oh, I just feel the glory." Man, you just want to do something, you know. And I remember, I shouldn't share this, but I remember there was a time when a semi got in front of me. I was driving, and he just went like that, and then I'm looking at him, and he's like, "What?" And I just, you know, I'm like, jump out of the window, you know, and run. And then I remember doing a flip in the air, 360, and just landing on top of the trailer, and then just breaking the window, and just grabbing this guy with my left hand, and say, "Whoa, what, bro?" And then I come back in reality that I have, you know, a few people in my car that were Christian. And I'm like, I shouldn't be a good idea to do that. I shouldn't. But, you know, one of those moments that you're being tested, right? And I experienced the love of God. But I didn't know there was, you know, the enemy will always fight. He will always do the best to take you away from that. We have experienced the first love, but he will do anything. He will bring sickness. He will try to bring bad news. He will try to bring addiction to your life. But, you know, there's good news. Jesus is in the house, and anything is possible. If you can believe it, the Lord can set us free. Amen? So loving God, experience the love of Jesus and that. And I went back to my pastor, and because I was sad that this guy spit in my face. You know, I was like, I didn't do anything. I promise I didn't do anything. I didn't jump or do any flips or any of that. So when he spit in my face, you know, I went back home. I was sad all day. I was really sad. And I went to my brother and I said, "Listen, I'm really sad. I don't know. It just feels like, you know, I don't know. The love of God is not there. It just somebody just spit in my face because I told him that I was Christian. And I don't understand." So he's like, "You should be happy about it. Don't you hate when you come to the pastor or someone, or leader, that you bring your pain and they're like, 'Oh, you should rejoice in the Lord,' or just they come out with all this weird stuff?" So I was there, and then he comes in, and he's like, "You should be happy about it." And I say, "Why would I be happy?" And he shared a Bible verse. They changed my life, because after years, it's been, what, 29 years working with the Lord, and I still remember that Bible verse. Because there's still people out there, man. You know? And they will make you. So this is the Bible verse that he shared with me. Do you have it there? And it says, "You are blessed when they insult and persecute you." I was reading, I was like, "I should be blessed?" And you know the word blessed, what it means? Blessed, happy, rejoice. I was like, "You should be happy when someone insults." Because I'm reading the word. There's something happening in my heart. It seems like a light, the fire of love is coming back. And it's like, you're blessed when someone insults you and persecutes you and falsely say everything of evil against you because of me. And that was the situation. Yeah. And it says, be glad and rejoice. And I said, I sure will. Why? Because your reward is great in heaven. And when I say reward, I ask my brother, and I say, what do that mean? What do you mean rewards? And he says, man, it's just presents, gifts from heaven. And I was happy because I never got anything from Santa Claus when I was a little kid. I always write in Mexico. I don't know if you have papers to go to Mexico. Everybody can go to Mexico. I don't know why he never made it over there. But I always write letters to Santa Claus. And I say, hey, I need a bike. I want a skateboard. Like, you know, and I see all my friends later were like really bad. And everybody always have presents. And I told my mom, how come I'm not getting any presents? She's like, because you're a bad boy. So I was like, okay, that's fine. You know, it's all right. The Lord really healed me from that. So I'm like, reward, presence. So I'm excited now, you know, because I go to the Word, and the Word inspires me and gives me back the flame of love and that hope and that chido que se siente, you know. You know, yeah, well, chido means something like awesome, like. It's just heavenly language. Spanish is, you know, just you guys all should learn Spanish. But you know, I'm excited, so I can't wait to get to work. Yeah. I'm just going to work the next day, and I say, I hope somebody will say something bad to me again. And now as I walk into work, I can hear some of my friends. They already knew what happened the day before. And they're like, hey, are you Christian now, huh? You don't do this, and that. You're hallelujah. They call me, and then la carrilla, you know, all that bullying. So I'm like, all right, you know, I just hear five times. So I got five rewards. I have five gifts. I'm loving this Christian life thing, you know. But, you know, it is what brings you hope when you go back to the world when you're dealing with situations. You know, so I'm making a point here, you know. Point number one, it says everything that you do, do it unto the Lord, do it in the name of Jesus. So I needed to treat these guys as I was treating the Lord. You know, I'm like, whatever happens, you know, if any enemy comes and tells you stuff, man, just blast the people. Just give them a gift. Give them something. The Lord says if you give them a gift, it helps you out in a relationship. So how many say amen to that? So that's my point number one. We should love our enemies. Say with me, I will love my enemies with all of my heart. Come on, guys. You got to be better than that. You got to love them. The Lord says, bless them. You know, go buy something. You know, give them a gift. This is the Christian life. This is what matters. You know, it's not about what should I do to him the next day, right? It's about what should I give to him? How can I bless him? Jesus, my name. And it still works until today. The Bible never expires, which is a cool thing. It's always alive. So this is what the Bible says in Matthew 5:43. It says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I'll tell you, love your enemy and pray for those to persecute you. Yeah. You know, we just got to pray for them. And don't pray the Latino way. Don't pray the Hispanic way. Like, Lord, I know you're my Josh and you'll defend me, Lord. Just put them in your hands. Take control of them. Well, basically, we're saying, I'm not going to do anything, but Lord, you know, just knock the, you know, just do something to just break their teeth. You know, David said in Psalms, you know, I will break the teeth of my enemies. So, Lord, just take control of it. We can't say that. Right? We got to pray until we know they are blessed, Lord. Just bless my enemy. Thank you. Thank you, because of your cause, I can be persecuted. Thank you, because people will insult me because of your name and so on and so on. Yeah. Do you feel a revival in your heart right now? I didn't hear no amens for that. I'm glad you didn't say amen. All right, so I'll go to point number two, and I love this point number two because I name it, love your neighbor. Say it with me, love your neighbor. And it says this, it says, wives, I just want to hear that again, wives, and I'm so glad you're here in the church, honey, I just love you, nothing personal, just the Bible, honey, it's the Bible, it's there, I didn't put that up there, they put it up. right? So wives, be submissive to your husbands. Love that. And they keep saying all kinds of stuff in there about, you know, wives love your husband and parents love your kids and kids love your parents. Basically, it comes down to we all should love each other, isn't it? Right? But, you know, there's sayings in Mexico, I don't know about here in the States, but there's sayings that goes against the word of God. But they're really, they're in the culture. There's a saying that they use a lot. It says, a la mujer ni todo el amor. See, you know that, Arturo? Órale. What did I say? There's a culture in the Hispanic world says, do not give to your wife all your love and don't give him all your money. That's evil, huh? Come on, woman. Well, now you're talking. And you can't do that. So I fixed it up for the kingdom. I'm like, I'm going to change that. Come on, for the name of Jesus. So I come to my wife and I say, honey, I'll give you all my love. And I'll give you all my love. I promise I will always love you. My heart will always be with you, you know. Yeah, so she has my money. She knows, you know. I don't even know how much money I make. All the check goes to her, so she's a happy person. She's not a happy person because of that. I'm sorry. I just messed it up. So it's the sayings of the world, what the world is saying, what other people are saying in the Bible. And the Bible will always give you the best recipe, yeah. The best recipe to have the best marriage ever. If anybody knows about your marriage or your situation, it's God. Yeah. He created it. You know, some people got married, I don't know why, because everybody was getting married. It's like, okay, cool. But God invented it. So he gave us that the instruction to have a good marriage. Right. I need to share it. I'm just going to share it. Okay, I'll share it. I mean, not because you said it. I will. So it's kind of like hearing the world or hearing God. You know, it's kind of like hearing your mom or your wife. And maybe you don't have this problem here in America, but in Mexico, you know, la suegra, the mother-in-law, always gets in the way. But now it gets in the way. We as a Latino, so as a Hispanic, maybe you as an American, you will do the same thing. I don't know. Let me share it with you. This is good. I remember one day I woke up and I felt the flu. Man, have you ever felt the flu? Isn't it like just dying, like the last thing in the world? Like you have given birth a couple of kids. You're just laying there and it's like, oh God, hell, just break loose because you have the flu. Yeah. And young women don't understand that, but it's the end of it. It's like, oh. It's like, oh, even though I walk to the shuttle, a bottle of that, and oh, it's the flu from hell. And we do feel like that, woman. Come on, you need to understand it. So I felt like that, and I just got married with Debbie, and we're having it's a wonderful marriage, but I have the flu, you know. Remember, she's walking right in front of me, and you're like, man, you know, I wish my mom was here. And as soon as I say my mom, she just went like, kind of like the Exorcist, you know, like. She didn't ask why, she just was interested in the conversation. Man, she will make my chicken soup, you know, and she will bring it here to my bed. Manana. And then I look at her, and she just goes, your mom. You know your mom is in TJ, right? And I say, yeah, why? She, you know, there's the door. Go to your mom if you want to. And it's been 15 years without mentioning my mom and my marriage, and it's been awesome, brother. It's been awesome. So it's like, you know, my point in this is you don't need to check with anybody else. Done. We need to run into God. The Lord has an answer for our life. Yeah. He will always give you the best advice. He will give you the best instruction for you to have a happily and ever after super awesome chido marriage. Say with me, chido. Chido. So that pushed me to go to my third point, and I named my third point love. Love God. The last part of the Bible that we read, it says, whatever you do, do it enthusiastically as something done for the Lord and not for men, knowing that you will receive the reward, there's the word reward, of inheritance from the Lord. You serve the Lord Christ. What the Bible is saying here is, whatever you're doing for on the instruction, just know that God will give you a reward. And I remember, when I first came to the Lord, when I was walking in my first love, knowing that back in the days, we didn't have the gospel of prosperity. There was no prosperity thing. We never heard stuff like that. All that we heard, it was that Christ was our everything. And then, to be honest with you, Jesus, when we knew our life that we had before and now the life that we have now, all that really matters is Jesus. When we die, we're not going to take all wealth with us. We're all going to take, our hearts, and we're just going to surrender to the Lord, and the Lord will reward us for that. Yeah. And you may be thinking that you may be thinking about, I got to love, and how can I get the love? How can I receive the love? If you're the piano, can you help me, Pastor, with the piano? How can I receive this love? And I just want to share something with you. Talking about loving God and how can we get this love. Let me just say something. When we love in God, we truly, with all of our hearts, there's something that comes out of it, and it's sharing Him with others. Once you're in love with someone, man, you just want to talk about Him. That's how we can measure how much we're loving God. I know we're not all evangelists, but we all have heart, God's in our heart, and all we got to do is just anywhere we go, either we take an Uber, we go to a pharmacy. All it takes is like, listen, God is looking for you and He loves you. That's all. The Lord gave a biggest sacrifice for us just to say something and say it with excitement and say it with, like, you mean it. And I remember I was at work one time and there was a friend of mine walking, coming down from the States. He walked by where I was working, and his name is Javier. I remember seeing Javier, and I say, Javier, how you doing? I haven't seen Javier for maybe a few years after I was born again, and I left stuff that I was doing before, but we were doing it together. So I'm like, Javier, how you doing? What are you doing? He's all like, well, I just went to Chula Vista and San Isidro. I'm coming into Tijuana right now. I'm looking for a good line of Coke. I need some good Coke. What would you do? What would you say? Oh, Holy Father, get out of here. Don't talk to me. I'm a holy man. What would be your reaction? What is your reaction when someone comes to your work and say, I do have a headache. I will share with you some kind of a problem they're going through. What as a Christian, what was our response? And we got to have Jesus in our heart. We have that first love that, you just got to talk about you're selling the best burrito ever to that person. And I told Javier, what are you looking? I said, yeah, I'm looking for Coke. I'm like, dude, I have the best Coke ever. I only had like a week or two in the Lord's. He's like, Javier, you don't know what's up, bro. This stuff is good. And Javier's been like, hey, bro, where should we go? What? I'm like, Javier, man, I need to meet you here at 6 o'clock. I'm going to take you to a place. It's called church. And something's going to happen to your life. Man, God is good. He came to my life. And it's a better feeling than a Coke, man. This stuff is free. You don't have to go look for it. You can just get up in the morning and, bow on your knees and say, Lord, fill me up. And this stuff is awesome. It's free. Whew. Amen. So he's like, man, I don't know. And like, dude, I noticed this conversation better because I just talked to Javier after 20-something years. I found him on Facebook. Let me share what happened. And it's a conversation. He's telling me how we talked, how I met that day, how I presented Christ to him. So it's like, he says that I told him, if you're a coward, you're not going to be here at 6 o'clock to go to church. And the response of Javier, he's telling me, he's like, I told you I was not a coward. I will be here at 6 o'clock. And I remember coming at 6 o'clock, Javier was there. I took him to church, and he gave his life to Jesus Christ in that moment. It was awesome. It was awesome to see him crying in the altar. And I was telling Javier, everybody left already, bro. It's been a half an hour. He's still crying there. And he's like, dude, this is awesome. This is good. So, you know, talking to him last week, a week and a half ago, I'm like, Javier, what are you doing? Well, he's like, you know what? Since we stopped seeing each other, you know, I went to Vegas and the Lord called me into the ministry. I'm a pastor now and I'm serving. And I'm like, wow, I got to share this with these beautiful people in Canvas, you know, stuff. And he's like, dude, you're not even know. He's like, it's not that I'm a pastor since, you know, I converted to the Lord and I stopped seeing you. I've been speaking to hundreds and hundreds of people. And to be honest with you, of those hundreds of people, there's 300 pastors already that got converted, and they're not pastors, and they're serving the Lord Jesus Christ because you shared the gospel with me. And I'm not here to brag about what I did. I'm here to tell you that the Lord has the power to change anybody's heart. Anybody's heart. It doesn't matter what you have done, what addiction you are. All you got to do, it's like the woman in the Bible. She was sick from her body, and all she did was like, if it can only touch the garment of Jesus. Just the touch of Jesus. I think in society nowadays, we have made things hard. It's enough. You should go see the psychiatrist. You should go through the steps. And I don't have nothing against them. My dad was changed by Alcohol Anonymous. And before he died, he gave himself to Christ as well. But it's just the touch of Jesus. There's nothing you should do. He didn't ask you to jump or make holds or work or do anything. All he's saying, for God to love the world, that he gave his only begotten son for whosoever. That whosoever is me and you. No matter if we don't know Christ or we have served the Lord for many, many years. It doesn't matter. Does not matter. We're just so far away from deliverance and for healing from alcohol or drugs or whatever you're dealing with. Just by the touch of the garment, the Lord hears your cry. I remember in the Bible says that the Lord came and talked to this blind man. And he says, "What do you want me to do?" And he says, "I would like to see again." What amazes me from that is there's people here that used to see Jesus before with the love and the compassion, and you're not seeing it anymore, and we're not here to judge. We're here to tell you that if the Lord healed that blind man and let him see again, he can do the same miracle to you today, and he can give your sight back. He can give you your...
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.